our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 395, the stanzas 1 through 4. The Lord our God is good to all, from him all blessing flows. On all his works his tender love and mercy he bestows. And what follows, Psalter 395, the four stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Acts 26, the verses 1 through 20. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts 26, the first 20 verses. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, and know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that he ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints that I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them often every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, a shining right round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou wast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Eternal, unchangeable, almighty God, the merciful Father in heaven from whom all blessings flow, we have sung thereof at the beginning of this service, and may it please thee to impress it upon all our hearts, that every blessing comes from above. And then we have also heard from the psalmist that he was given to praise thee for all those blessings which come from thee. Ah, Lord, may it please thee in the morning hour of this Sabbath day that thou may grant a broken and a humble heart, a word thou wast given unto us in our children another week. Then thou wast not taken one away by the cold hand of death, while each one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, is lying under that sentence of death. Ah, may thou grant a little be wondering by the first time and by renewal, that we may still have a place upon the earth, and that we may be humbled under thy goodness, and that it may all be all thy goodness that leadeth us and our children to repentance. Then thou wast not dealt according to our many sins. Ah, we have heard the law read by renewal, the Ten Commandments, and then we all have to say that we are guilty, that we are very guilty, and not only transgressors of thy commandments, but we are transgressors from the womb. Ah, Lord, may there yet be a people, by the first time, but also by renewal, that may be burdened with their sins. Thou knowest how that we have spent the past week, what we were busy with. Ah, the labors are manifold, for fathers, for mothers, for young people, for our children. But may there have been true and deep, profound thoughts of thee, of thy greatness, but also of our smallness, of thy justice, and also of our guilt, oh, also of thy mercy, and therefore we may still have a place upon the earth. Then indeed thy long suffering is great over us. Ah, may there then be a bowing before thee. Lord, thou knowest most perfectly how that we have risen in this morning hour, and how we have come up to thy house. Ah, may many prayers have been sent unto thee, the living, the almighty, the merciful God, that thou may remember us as a people in thy great mercy, only possible through the meritorial work of thy dear Son. Ah, Lord, thy common mercies, they are great indeed, but they are only for a time. And if they do not bring us at thy footstool, then all thy mercies, then they shall rise up against us in the day of judgment. To that end, we humbly beg thee for thy blessing upon thy holy word. Ah, Lord, may it not have to be a plowing upon the rocks, where the rocks remain so immovable, and where the rocks only become harder, and where the ground remains so unfruitful, but also such a difficult and discouraging work for the oxen. But, oh Lord, come then down with thy Spirit. Leave us not over to ourselves. Forsake and forget us not. Leave us not over to the hardness of the heart, the greatest judgment that can come upon a person, upon a family and a congregation, under all thy mercies, under all thy solemn callings, under the proclamation of thy word, that we only become harder and harder and that we grieve thee more and more, oh, then surely, then a people has reason to tremble, but, oh, Lord, wilt thou then work from generation to generation, and wilt thou grant tokens that thou knowest of us, and what greater token could thou grant, that in this day, in this very hour, that it would be heard that boys and girls, our youth, the middle-aged, and the elderly, that they would be powerfully but also sweetly wrought upon, because thy work is such a sweet work. Lord, do it then for thy honor and for thy glory. Ah, thou shalt be glorified in all of our lives. But with the unconverted it shall be concerning thy justice. But all when sinners are saved, then all thy attributes are glorified to the fullest. And thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee, Lord. Wilt thou remember thy true people? Oh, wilt thou grant more exercises concerning divine realities? Ah, we have to confess that our hearts, that they are so earthly and so carnal, but may they become more spiritual-minded, more bound at the throne of grace, ah, begging thee for a new visit, a new word, a new token of thy divine favor, and above all for those further leadings, because thou hast said in thy holy word, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Ah, Lord, there can be so much that is not yet thy saving work, and that is the examination in the hearts of thy children. But wilt thou then lead further? Oh, do instruct. Wilt thou grant the strengthening of faith, and that there may not be no lasting rest outside of that holy name which thou hast given, the name of Jesus, which means Savior, where he has come to deliver his people from the greatest evil and to bring them to that supreme good. Ah, that is that blessed and that sweet communion, Lord, with thee, to be given to rejoice in thee with that vehement desire that thou may receive all the honor and the glory. Ah, thou hast a people that learns more and more how dependent they are upon thee for everything. Lord, remember thy church. Remember thy truly called servants. Remember elders and deacons. Wilt thou remember the students in this day? Wilt thou continue to uphold the persecuted church of so many different countries in so many places? Oh, wilt thou grant on this Sabbath day, perhaps in prison, perhaps being tortured, perhaps being examined, oh, wilt thou uphold them, and thou hast promised that in the time when it is needed, that thou would grant what they must speak. Remember the Jewish nation that is still filled with such a great and such a bitter enmity against thy Son. Ah, Lord, may it be by thy grace, by a great work of that Spirit, that bitter enmity, that it may be turned into exceeding great need and a great love for the promised Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Wilt thou bless mission work, our mission field, with all the needs. Lord, remember the young couple who were united in holy matrimony in this past week. It is their first Lord's Day, as husband and wife. Ah, may it please thee to bless thy word. Then indeed it would be an unforgettable Lord's Day. Wilt thou remember all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children and dear ones to the grave. Ah, Lord, thou knowest how those empty places are so keenly felt and experienced. Wilt thou continue to uphold them? Remember all our elderly ones. Remember our care home. Remember all that of difficulties of the bodies and of the mind. Ah, thou knowest all the struggles that there can be. May they be given to bow their knees and cry mightily unto thee. Wilt thou remember the handicapped ones? Ah, Lord, undoubtedly, when they look upon their fellow man, that they can become so discouraged. But, ah, do encourage them, and wilt thou remember them, above all for their never-dying souls. Remember prodigal sons and daughters who in this day are seeking it elsewhere, ah, Lord. Thou could yet bring them back. And now in this morning hour, then we humbly beg of thee for thy gracious help, O Lord. Thou knowest how dependent we are upon thee for everything. May it please thee among young and old, even among the little children, that there may be a errands in hers. And wilt thou grant empty vessels? Ah, when we are so full of the world and of our self-righteousness, ah, may they be emptied in beginning in this morning. And, ah, Lord, it is thy work to make empty vessels and to make them empty each time by renewal. Ah, may they then be filled. May the oil flow. May it please thee to graciously take away everything which can be a hindrance. Ah, thou knowest the cares. They can be so manifold, but may they be left outside of the church doors in this morning hour. And wilt thou bind the devil, take away worldly and wandering thoughts. Lord, be then a surprising God. Dwell richly amongst us. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. A Psalter for the five stanzas. Oh, wherefore do the nations rage, and kings and rulers strive in vain against the Lord of earth and heaven to overthrow Messiah's reign? And what follows, Psalter 4, the five stanzas. in this morning hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Acts 9, the 5th verse, the 2nd part, and the 1st part of verse 6. And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Our text words speak of Jesus's continuing instruction to Saul before the gates of Damascus. Three thoughts. In the first place, I reprove Saul. Secondly, a trembling Saul. And in the third place, a willing Saul. Jesus' continuing instruction to Saul before the gates of Damascus. I reprove Saul because we read, and the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. A trembling Saul, and he trembling and astonished said, and a willing Saul, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Thus first was our last point of last time, at reprove Saul. Beloved congregation, when by renewal we may consider the wonderful, the powerful, the astonishing work that the Lord has wrought before the gates of Damascus in the heart of Saul, then it can be profitable to consider the context of this chapter. Oh, it is true. It was a wonderful time when so many were converted among the Jews in the chapters before. Many of the Jewish nation was converted, and in the chapters after, we hear of the missionary journeys of Paul that so many were wrought upon. Then at the end of chapter 8, we also read of a conversion, and that was of the Ethiopian that dwelt so far away from Jerusalem, that black Ethiopian at the ends of the earth. Oh, what is also necessary. Oh, what a blessing it is when we may come up to God's house, that there may be such that are given to experience because of their sins, their great sins, their many sins. That it feels like they are at the ends of the earth. But what a blessing it is when it may be given with Psalm 61. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. But in chapter 8, thus that was a heathen, an Ethiopian. He was not dwelling under the oracles of God. But then we also hear how that Ethiopian has been led, 'tis true, in a more gradual manner, but taught by the same Spirit, instructed by the same word. That Ethiopian has experienced that in Jerusalem it could not be found, but then on that desert way to Gaza, Philip was sent an interpreter, and then he preached unto him Jesus. Thus before Acts 9, the conversion of the heathen. Then in chapter 10, then we read of an Italian centurion, one that had the authority over 100 soldiers. And then we read in that chapter the fruits of grace, praying, given alms, received instruction from the Lord. And then we all realize that the heathens and worldly people need to be converted. But now in this chapter, we have heard that Saul, he was not a worldly man, no blameless, a Pharisee, a zealous for the church, a thought he was doing God a service. Then Saul needed to be converted. Have we ever learned that, congregation? That we need to be converted. Have we now learned what it is to be unconverted? That not only the heathens in faraway countries and worldly people that need that wonderful work of grace, but now the context tells us that church people, and we have heard Saul, he was not a worldly man, did not grieve the church. Oh, he was sincerely mistaken, that is true. But that church people need to be converted. And now we have already heard much out of the life of Saul. And then how is it now thus far, congregation? When we may lay our life beside the life of Saul, then already I hear one say, but if I now knew exactly the time, and that it was with such extraordinary ways, then I would not have to doubt, and I would not have to question. But I am as that Rebecca. Oh, I hope that there are many Rebeccas amongst us. When she was bearing those twins, that she said, how am I thus? But what did she do? That she went to inquire of the Lord. But now not concerning the providential circumstances, but now to examine our heart, to lay our heart beside what is written in God's word, because shall it be well, then we must find our life explained in the life of God's people and in the Psalms which are recorded for our instruction, that there are times that it is not a strange language. And then the first thing that we have heard, that was light. That a light is shone. When the Lord begins, then it all becomes so different, congregation. Then we are given to see things, we have heard them from our youth, but then we are given to see things so differently. And then in the second place, then Saul has fallen down. That shall also take place when the Lord converts us. I'm not saying in the same way, but then we are given to bow so low. Then there are times that we cannot bow low enough. Oh, that we may be humbled in the dust and with a desire that the Lord receives all the honor and the glory, and to bow before the authority of His holy word. Then it becomes our desire never to grieve the Lord no more. And then we have further heard that a soul, that he was uncovered, because then all we heard his name, Saul, Saul. Then there shall be times that we hear our name mentioned in church, the condition of our heart. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Then we have heard it in the past week. That people, they become so troubled with that word, why? And then they are convicted. Then they are given to see in the mirror of God's holy word, what a sinner they are, Then they become so busy with those things. Then they become weepers at the throne of grace. And no further. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And now to come to our text. And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Thus convicted, reproved of a special actual sin, does not mean that Saul had no more sins. Oh, let us only mention that pride. He thought he was so blameless, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. What an awful sin that pride is. But he was convicted of a special sin. And how often when the Lord works, that they are convicted of a special sin. For the one this, the other that. And then in the continuance, the deeper uncovering, oh, they are led from commandment to commandment. Then that people is given to weep bitter tears. Have we begun, congregation, to weep those bitter and yet those sweet tears? Oh, for that people, when they are convicted, and it becomes less, and they can live a little easier, it seems, then how troubled they can become. Then they are brought at the Lord's footstool and says, Ach, Lord, forsake me not, but continue to work in my heart. Convict me more and more. But, O Lord, I need to be forgiven. I cannot appear before thee with all my sins, with the burden of my debt. O Lord, thou knowest that I can miss everything upon this world, but I cannot miss thee. And then we read, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Oh, what an awakening that was for Saul. And everything is not written in the Bible. The Bible is not written to satisfy our curiosity. But we would think Saul, the Pharisee, the strict Pharisee that he was, blameless, keeping the law blameless, that he would be present each time when there were no lawful hindrances at the feast that were held at Jerusalem. Thus then we would think with the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Passover was celebrated and the day of Pentecost, it is not written. But we would think that Saul, perhaps he was present. And now, to receive that message, Jesus, whom the Jewish people have crucified, that they have cried out, crucify him, crucify him, or where they have cried out, his blood be upon us and our children. Oh, that Jewish people that have mocked with him on the cross, he has saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the Son of God, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. And then Jesus was buried. Thus, that Jewish people, a dead Jesus, we know, a lie has been told, undoubtedly many unsettled consciences, still a blessing when we live not so easy over the world concerning these matters. But now what a awakening and what a word it was for Saul that Jesus was still alive. That is the message that Jesus has brought. I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Then we have the example, boys and girls, of some oxen that are pulling the plow. And sometimes those oxen, they needed a little prodding. And then such a farmer, he had a pull with a sharp point, or perhaps even sharp points at the back of the plow. And when that oxen would be prodded and he would kick, then of course the farmer needed a special tack to hold that pole right. But then when he kicked backwards, he would only injure himself. And that is now the example that is used in our text. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. There's a blessing, congregation, when we still have those pricks. How is it with us? Are there still those pricks whereby we are pricked, that we cannot go so easy on our way, that many times we are called to stop, to consider that we have no abiding city, that we are traveling to eternity, and that upon this earth there are many troubles and trials, and that the true satisfaction shall not be found. Those pricks can be in so many ways. And then we must ask the Lord with those pricks, that he may use them to keep us low, and that they may be used for our conversion. We could speak of pricks in many ways. Even the goodness of the Lord. What a blessing it is when the Lord uses it as a prick. When we consider our sins, maybe special sins, and then we consider how good the Lord is, the Lord has been, the Lord continues to be, and that against that goodness, that we continue to sin. This sin, that sin, you can fill it in, congregation. And that it is still as a prick that we are given to think so much sin against so much goodness that we live not so easy many times upon the world. Oh, another prick. That's a prick inside, boys and girls. And not only boys and girls, also older ones, all of us. That is our conscience. It's the Lord speaking to us when we are thinking of doing something wrong, given into a temptation, an addiction. You can multiply it out, fill it in, congregation. And then our conscience, it is as a prick that the Lord is speaking. This sinful, this wrong, the fruit shall be bitter, the end shall not be well. Then what a blessing it is when there are still those pricks of conscience. And then our text says that it is hard to kick against those pricks. When we do not listen, then there shall come a time that those pricks become less and not as sharp, more faint. Maybe there are those that say, that is now my life. There was a time with sin. I shall tell you what a Jeremy Taylor has written many years ago concerning sin, the progression of sin. He has written this. First, it startles him. Then it becomes pleasing. Then easy. Then delightful. Then frequent. Then habitual. Then confirmed. Then the man is impenitent, then obstinate, then resolves never to repent, and then to be damned. It's a profound statement. I shall read it once more slowly. concerning the progression of sin, what one has written many years ago. First, it startles him. Still a blessing when we sin, not so easy. Then it becomes pleasing, because sin is delightful for our sinful flesh. Then easy. It's when the pricks become less. Then delightful. Then frequent. Started out not so often, but now frequent. Then habitual. Then confirmed. And then the man is impenitent. Then obstinate. Then resolves never to repent. And then to be damned. It's a profound statement. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Oh, how difficult it is when the temptations come, and so pleasing to our flesh. Oh, then what a blessing it is when we may bow our knees. Then we could speak of those pricks under the Word of God. Hope that still happens. Under the preaching and reading of the Word, that there are still those pricks that touch us, that prick our hearts. That we sit in our bench not so easy. And that we go home not so easy. And that during the week there are times that it is not easy. But what a terrible thing it is when we kick against those pricks. Maybe there are a few that say, but I do not want to be troubled with those pricks. But because I want to be happy, I do not want to be troubled. Oh, happy in the world, and what then, congregation? Oh, ask the older ones. It's true. The Lord granteth many good things in this world, but the true satisfaction, oh, hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Providential callings, what a pricks they are. Sickness, death, that the Lord tells us that we have no continuing city, and that we are traveling to eternity. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Think of Pharaoh with the plagues. They were, as it were, pricks from the Lord to show him that the Lord reigns. He was called upon to let the children of Israel go. It was the command of the living God. And then each time he received the prick. And a Pharaoh has even come very low. He has said, I have sinned. But after a while, when the plague was taken away, he hardened his heart. What a pricks that the Lord has sent unto us and our children and the time that lies behind. Oh, we could speak of the pricks of our duty, that we kick against it. When the Lord lays tasks, duties upon us, we can even mention Jonah, a child and prophet of the Lord. The Lord has said, Jonah, go preach to Nineveh. Preach against that city. And Jonah has kicked against the pricks. Oh, it is hard. Also for God's people to kick against the Lord's voice. Think of Jonah. He ended up in the fish. The Lord has delivered him. But it was a deep way. Thus, in the way of duty, oh, we could speak. Hard for thee to kick against the pricks in the way of our lot. We have our responsibility. We are to pray and work. But think of Lord's Day number 10. Ah, to rebel, to become angry at and with the Lord concerning His divine providence, concerning our lot. 'Tis a blessing when the Lord still sends those pricks. Do you know what the worst is, congregation? What is now the worst? When the Lord does not prick us anymore. When we can live in the world, grieving the Lord, hardening our heart, and that it all becomes so still that the Lord does not send those special pricks to remind and to call us that we may return from our wrong ways. Oh, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Oh, boys and girls, we have mentioned the example of those oxen that are called to pull the plow. Oh, then those oxen, they need those pricks to remind them of their duty. But then, of course, those oxen, they can become tired and discouraged. And oh, the Lord with His people. And that becomes the wonder more and more, because the Lord has a people that deserves, those deserve many a pricks. But that the Lord in His loving kindness, we read of His yoke, and that He comes to His people, not with a prick, but that He comes with a sweet word and with encouragement. What a fear not in the scripture that the Lord will help them. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Oh, when the Lord converts and the Lord brings back those pricks that maybe we have put aside, or that notwithstanding pricks that we have continued on our way, under a serious sermon that in the busyness of the world has been drowned away. Ah, the Lord brings back. Oh, for Saul, cannot be different, that there were pricks in his conscience when he has seen that godly Stephen, oh, speaking of those things, praying for his enemies, when he was persecuting the church. Oh, he wanted to think that he was doing God a favor, but it cannot be different, that there were those pricks when the saints were put to death, that he was given to examine himself, but that he has continued. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. But in the land of grace, in the time of grace, then a sinner may still bow his knees and cry mightily unto the Lord for mercy and for pardon. Oh, when the Lord works, then they think of other pricks, and that is in eternity. The worm that shall never die. Oh, had I, but then it shall be too late forever. Our second thought, a trembling soul, let us first sing. 432, the stanzas 1 and 4. God Jehovah reigns, His are all domains. Tremble at His word, people who have heard of the power of Him and what follows. 432, 1 and 4. Jesus' continuing instruction to Saul before the gates of Damascus. I reprove Saul, and now secondly, a trembling Saul. That trembling was upon the words of Jesus. When Saul is asked, "Who art thou, Lord?" Then Jesus did not say, "I am Jesus the Savior who has come to save you." It was true. Oh, it was the love of Jesus, wrought by the Holy Spirit, by the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of Saul. Oh, we have heard it before, that Jesus has loved Saul from eternity, and he loved him when he has stopped him. Oh, it was the love of Jesus. When Jesus says, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest," it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And now concerning the kicking against the pricks, it is not only hard, congregation, but it is foolish and vain. Because does a poor sinner, a worm of the dust, and now think that he can hold it out against that Almighty God, the Creator of the heavens and of the earth? It cannot be, and it shall not be. Oh, it is true. Sometime the Lord lets a bold sinner continue for a long time, even become old. But it shall all come to an end. But now a soul, when he has heard that Jesus, whom they had crucified, that he is alive. Oh, it was the same message that Peter has proclaimed in Acts 2, verse 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know, assuredly, that God hath both made the same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. O Saul, Jesus, whom the nation, whom ye have crucified, he is risen, he is alive, and he is stopping you on the way to Damascus. And now the fruit of that speaking. Then we read, and he trembling. Thus first a few words about that trembling. There is a nominal Christendom in our day that you do not, when you listen to him, that even many times that reverence is missing and that humility, but in the way of grace, any trembling. The people of God, when they are stopped, when they are uncovered, and when they learn more and more of whom the Lord is, then that trembling, that is not such a strange matter to them, because then they learn that with their sins, that they cannot stand before this majestic, this glorious, this almighty, this holy God. We have many examples in the scriptures. Manoah in Judges 13, when they received that wonderful message that they would receive a son. Then Manoah even said to his wife, "We must die because we have seen God." Oh, his wife has been led further. Then she said, "Shall the Lord show us such things, and shall we then die?" I think in Isaiah 6, when Isaiah was given to see that vision, those six cherubims that have cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And then he said, "Woe unto me, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people with unclean lips." Oh, think in the New Testament. Think of a Zacharias when the angel Gabriel has appeared. There are literal examples in the Bible that we read of saints that have trembled before the Lord. In Exodus 19, when the children of Israel when they were at the foot of Mount Sinai and they have heard the voice of the living God, the Ten Commandments, then they trembled. In Acts 7, we even read the same of Moses. Then of an Eli in 2 Samuel 4, verse 13. Oh, that old Eli, he had not restrained his voice. Solemn messages have come. And then he was sitting on the chair, and a messenger has come concerning the battle. His two boys had been slain, his flesh and blood ushered into eternity, lost forever. And then when that messenger heard that the ark was taken, we read that he trembled. Daniel 5, of a Belshazzar, when he saw that writing on the wall, then we read he trembled. In Acts 24, Felix, under the preaching of Paul, we read that he also trembled. Has that ever taken place in our life, congregation, that we have learned to tremble? A deep impression. Saul has asked, "Who art thou, Lord?" When the Lord converts us, then we receive God knowledge and self-knowledge. And when we may learn a little and experience a little of the greatness of God, His holiness, His purity, His power, His omniscience, oh, all His attributes, and we have a little impression of our sinnership and of that why that we have offended Him, sinned against such a good doing, holy, righteous, majestic God, then it cannot be different that we learn to tremble. Oh, an impression that we cannot stand before such a holy God and lying under the sentence of death, because it is also a God of truth. What He has written in His holy word that cannot be altered. Then we learn to tremble before the living God. Young and old, let me ask you, for Saul, Jesus, upholding His Father's justice, has become real in his life. Has God now become real in our life? Has that become reality that takes place? Shall be seen in our life? Oh, then we shall learn to tremble also before His word, before His judgments. Oh, when the Lord converts, then the judgments are for us, because I am so unconverted. Oh, then there can be times that it becomes a wonder when we may have another Sabbath day that the Lord still spares us. And yet, we have told you before, was the drawing love of Jesus, because a soul, oh, it is true, he was still lying on the ground, but a soul, then he did not run away. No, he has remained on that place, a desire to know more of heavenly things, divine realities. He trembled. Have we learned to tremble? James has written to the church in James 2, verse 19, "Thou believest that there is a God, thou doest well." Even historically, a blessing can keep us from many sins, from much evil. But now he has written, "Thou believest that there is a God, thou doest well." Then he has written, "The devils believe also, and they tremble." Thus, how is it with that trembling in our day? Seems to be so little, or is a different congregation. Of course, when the Lord grants it, then we shall seek for a secret place. Can be when the Lord works in a heart that there can be times in church that they have to do their best to contain themselves, that they wish that they had a little place in secret where they could bow, where they could weep, where they could cry, with the prayer of the publican, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Does that ever take place? Or can we come to church week after week and never those trembling, never those pricks, that we can continue week after week and month after month and year after year, and then suddenly eternity, then we shall have to appear before our Maker. But now there can be trembling. That is yet not the true work of the Lord, because Felix, in Acts 24, once Paul has preached of judgment, righteousness, and temperance, then we read that he was given to tremble. That sermon has made a great impression. And what did he say? Go they way for this time. When they have a more convenient season, I will call for you. Thus there can be trembling. That is yet not the true work of the Lord. Oh, and then maybe a soul says, but then I am afraid I am such a one. Oh, what is now the difference between the trembling of the calming working of the Spirit and the true work? Oh, and that true work, then there is that love for a Lord that we have sinned so grievously against, the Lord who was so just. Ah, then such a soul, they have such a longing and such a desire for the Lord and for His ways and a begging for the pardoning of sins. Ah, when the Lord works, then it goes not only about the gifts. Ah, they are so precious. And about those gleanings on the field of Boaz. But then it goes about the Lord Himself. But now the true work, and that we find. Thus we have many touchstones that we can all examine our hearts, or whether we know something of the work of the Lord. A trembling and being astonished, it is true. There can also be much astonishment in the heart of natural man when the Lord converts one. And what a blessing that is when that takes place in a family circle. Then there can be much astonishment, and there can even be resentment, because then we think they become too strict and maybe warn us too often. But now the Lord also grants that true astonishment by the work of the Holy Spirit. Then such souls, they cannot explain it. They know it has become different, because it is such a wonderful, such an astonishing, and such a supernatural work. Then they are astonished that it has all become different. Maybe before. Oh, come to church. We must always come to church. But form and duty, no true desire, maybe even sometime think, I shall not mention it all. You can fill it in, my unconverted fellow travelers. But now when the Lord works, then during the week, then what a longing. Then they are given to experience with Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after all the days of my life, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold His beauty and to inquire of His temple. Then there are things before that did not really interest us. Then maybe fathers and mothers have said, boys and girls, sons and daughters, you must take time to read a good book. Of course, we must always read our Bible. But when the Lord works. Who art thou, Lord? Oh, then such a desire to learn who the Lord is and how his people are converted. Then they are all ears. When it may be declared how the Lord converts his people, and then how glad they are when they may hear their name mentioned, all astonished. What they used to love, now they hate, and the other way around, astonished, amazed. Oh, that they cannot give it a name, but they know it has become so different. Oh, the service of the Lord, everything that belongs to the Lord has become so precious, and it has become so necessary. Oh, then they are astonished at the goodness of the Lord, that for such a sinner as I am, that the earth still bears and the heaven still covers. Oh, then it is the goodness of the Lord that brings them in secret places, that they are given to humbly acknowledge the Lord, that they are still in the precious day of grace. Oh, and the further leadings, then that astonishment. Oh, when they are led further, that for such a sinner that precious Savior, Jesus, he may be proclaimed. What an astonishment, young and old. Have we ever become astonished, amazed at the wonderful works of the Lord? Our last thought, a willing soul. And then we read, we shall keep it very short. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord. Thus after that conviction, still confession of Lord. Name of respect and honor, but also of one having authority and a master. Thus has not changed. Even with that reproof, with that conviction, and that is now the wonderful work of the Lord. Oh, a people, they love that old truth where they are told their sins and their awful condition, but also where it is proclaimed that for such sinners there is a way. Oh, that the chiefest of sinners may be saved. Oh, a soul, how deeply he was convicted, how it has all come back what he has done. But with that deep conviction, with that reproof, soul, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Then a soul was given to say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Then we see in our text words, we have learned from Reverend Hellenbrook, that four matters need to be changed in our lives, that our darkened understanding need to be enlightened. We have heard of that light, and that our will needs to become conformable to the will of God, that our affections also, and a walk conformable to the word of God. Then we read it in that question, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? When the Lord converts, and when the Lord shows our lost condition, the blessedness of that people traveling to Zion, then there are times that they would do everything. It is true. That question that tells us different things, tells of love, because the Lord has a willing people in the day of his power. He is not slaves. Thus it tells that Saul, the heart of Saul, was conquered by love. What wilt thou have me to do? And he did not state any stipulations. Unconditional. Lord, I am willing to do anything what thou tellest me. How difficult it may be, because I need to be saved, and I have a desire to be one of thine. But it also betrays that covenant of works. What wilt thou have me to do? That broken covenant of works. that a soul. Tis on account of love. But, oh, a soul, he would learn that it was all grace and grace alone. Congregation, now by renewal, we can examine our hearts. We have told you that many times we think, when we think of soul, a different conversion, but no, it is the same Spirit, the same Word of God, and there is a people upon the earth, when we read these verses closely, that they can say, providential circumstance is different, but what a soul has experienced, that the true child of God is also given to experience. Oh, tell me, souls, then, is it not true that it is not a strange language? What a soul has said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? A willing people in the day of his power. Oh, the work of the Lord to make room for that precious Savior. Oh, what a work the Lord has. We have began with saying before, one from a heathen land, and after the Italian centurion. But oh, what a Lord, it is the same work. Natural man needs to be uncovered, needs to be converted. But what a work the Lord has in the midst of the church, that all our thoughts and our imaginations may be brought in subjection to the obedience of the word of Christ. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then in this morning hour, then by renewal, each and every one of us has matters to ponder over, to reflect upon, and to examine their hearts, whether what a soul has experienced, whether it is all strange to us. And when it is so, Lord, wilt thou convert, while still in the precious day of grace. Concerning those pricks, Lord, may they be used. May we not push them to the side, but may we be given to cry unto thee, and not only for those pricks, but for an arrow of divine love and conviction. And, Lord, thou hast a people that cannot deny what a soul has experienced, that it is all a strange language to them, and that is an account of that love for thee and for thy word and for thy service. Lord, may that number greatly be increased, because what shall it be under such a precious gospel? A word may be proclaimed that the chiefest of sinners can be saved, and then have to go lost, and then we shall be pricked forever and ever. Oh, Lord, convert us and our children, as thou hast converted all thy people. Wilt thou watch over us in this day? May we be given to keep the Sabbath day holy. Grant traveling mercies. Wilt thou bring us together in this evening hour. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 64, the three stanzas. Lord, I lift my soul to thee. O my God, I trust thy might. Let not foes exult over me. Shame me not before their sight. And what follows, Psalter 64, the three stanzas. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.